Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Groundhog Day, or more specifically, the cruel, exploitative, and speciesist spectacle of using a poor, defenseless groundhog as a weather-predicting toy for human entertainment. That's right, the brave thought leaders of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals recently sent a sternly worded missive to the president of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, begging the top-hatted and bearded old men of Gobbler's Knob to abandon their 139-year-old tradition and come into the brave new world of animal liberation by simply leaving Phil alone on February 2nd, 2026, and beyond. As Ingrid Newkirk, PETA president, or Minister of First Among Equals, as they like to call her, wrote, "Groundhogs are shy prey animals who, when allowed, actively avoid humans. Yet year after year, Phil is transported to Gobbler's Knob, whisked on a stage, and subjected to a noisy announcer, screaming crowds and flashing lights against all his natural instincts. As the one who is more than equal than others, all this nonsense and abuse just to make Phil the town's once-a-year fake meteorologist is a terrible abuse of human power." But PETA understands that the people want a spectacle, and so they propose using a weather reveal cake instead of mistreating the poor Marmota Monax in its ridiculous display of wintry tomfoolery. Instead of pretending the flat furry rodent cares about his shadow, PETA suggests a vegan cake with either a blue interior for 6 more weeks of winter or pink indicating an early spring. As Newkirk writes, quote, "More and more people realize that every animal is an individual with their own interests, needs, and personalities, as well as being able to feel pain, fear, joy, and love." And she urges the bearded ones to treat Phil with this love as the individual he is instead of using him as a fake, furry, frozen precipitation prognosticator. And while we're at it, wouldn't it be nice if we'd stop not only imposing our human need for spectacle upon him, but also start calling him by his actual name, which, of course, is not Phil. Nor is there any correct name in the completely fabricated and imaginary language of groundhog ease. Instead, Phil's actual name in the native tongue of the Western Pennsylvania woodchuck is actually click click wooster clink knack knack. Forgive my heavy southern accent, I only recently began speaking the language. So let us all stop pretending that there is anything civilized about disturbing a poor groundhog by banging on his fake tree home with an acacia stick and then holding him aloft like some primitive animal sacrifice or single-handed trophy. Let us put away our tuxedos, top hats, and suspension of disbelief about the age of Phil and his shadow-detecting prowess. Let us instead honor the poor squirrel cousin and slice open a weather reveal cake for kindness, justice, and Pennsylvania love. Unshackle the groundhog and let the equality of the animal kingdom guide us. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the term domestic beer for brands such as Coors, Miller, Michelob, and Budweiser. In case you've not heard, Brendan Whitworth, the man with the whitest name in North America, and chief executive officer of Anheuser-Busch, makers of Bud Light, the winner of the 2023 award for most inclusive adult beverage, for its catastrophically costly outreach campaign involving transgender superstar Dylan Mulvaney, recently announced to its distributors and partners a campaign to replace the term domestic beer with the term American beer. Recognizing that the long-standing words domestic and import for beer types makes beers with German, Dutch, Australian, Mexican, and even Canadian provenance sound slightly exotic, while also making American beer sound dull and mundane in contrast, Whitworth, in his letter entitled A Call for American Beers, encouraged marketing experts to instead use the term American for the beers of the good old USA. As he wrote, America is not necessarily an incorrect adjective to use, it just doesn't fully capture the spirit and passion that's so intrinsic to the American beer industry and its brands, and falls short of capturing the pride we should all take in products made right here in this great country. Now, yes, dear Otherin, normally we would oppose anything that promotes this nation or even vaguely feels patriotic. And although we are uncomfortable with the effort to elevate anything American over anything global in general, we celebrate this move precisely because it is the changing of language for the sake of the changing of language, which we always embrace. Making people unlearn time-tested words and memorize new terminology is the seventh sacrament of our order, even when it's being done to elevate one kind of mediocre beer over another. It's worth supporting. Also, we should note that Anheuser-Busch did stop short of requesting marketers shift away from using the term import for non-American beers, a choice we assume was deliberate. After all, they could have requested people start using derogatory terms such as foreign beer or non-native beer or even immigrant beer, which for obvious reasons we would not have accepted. Now, to us, it seems as if the makers of the King of Beers Budweiser and the second cousin twice removed of beers Bud Light are simply trying anything they can to recover from the losses they suffered in 2023. So raise a glass of American beer. Celebrate your Yuengling, your Sam Adams, your Pabst Blue Ribbon, your Keystone, or even your Natty Light, if you must, and never ask for a domestic beer again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to offer our most sincere praise for the legislature of the great state of Washington, and especially Representatives Strom Peterson, Julia Reed, and Greg Nance, for introducing a bill calling for a comprehensive redesign of the state flag, specifically to remove the picture of President George Washington from the flag of the state of Washington. As the bill observes, the flag features a detailed portrait of George Washington, making it overly complex and difficult to reproduce, which is a violation of key flag design principles that prioritize simplicity. Additionally, while George Washington is an important national figure, he has limited historical connection to the state itself. This makes his image less meaningful as a symbol for the state. End quote. We stand here in non-silent but gushing awe of the boldness of the leaders of Washington for openly calling to abandon the namesake himself as a picture on their flag, which, in case you're not familiar, is basically old George's face in a blue and yellow circle on a green background. Now, although nothing in the bill officially refers to the various immoralities and unacceptabilities associated with George Washington himself, we assume canceling him is a key motive behind the bill. They don't call it the People's Republic of Washington because it's overly fond of the Founding Fathers, after all. The only small criticism we have for these legislators is that they really should have gone all the way in advocating for a full separation from the racism and slave-owning legacy of the first president by calling to change the name of Washington State entirely, which, of course, would also have entailed redesigning the flag. Moreover, they've been really devoted to our cause of historical holy revisionism, and they could have called on Congress to name the U.S. Capitol something other than Washington, D.C., to abandon the imprint on the quarter, to redesign the $1 bill, and to demolish that horridly phallic monument protruding from the top of the National Mall. But baby steps are still worth recognizing. Meanwhile, if Washington State is going to de-Washingtonize their flag in a comprehensive and competitive design process, we have some suggestions for improvements. Of course, we always want to maximize inclusivity for all the people of the holy acronym string. And since we notice that not a single U.S. state has a rainbow on their flag, what a great opportunity to be the first LGBTQ2SIA square root of negative 5 inclusive state in the union. They could literally become the first official state of the rainbow people. Now, if they want to emphasize something more focused on, say, economic justice rather than sexual justice, they could go with the traditional equality red of China and Russia, perhaps with a yellow hammer or sickle or bong for emphasis, perhaps a black fist of protest for racial justice, but I digress. I'm sure once they rid themselves of the picture of the man for whom the state is named, they will surely find a wonderful pictographic representation of their core values to fly atop the dome in Olympia. So kudos to you, Washington State, for being as anti-Washington as you can, for at least for now. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please feel free to pick up one of this week's presidential transition denial kits. Today's featured distraction from reality device is a President Joe Biden pull string doll, which declares classic Bidenisms such as, "I'm being serious. No joke. Come on, man. I'm Jill Biden's husband." And Corn Pop was a bad dude. These audio reminders of the glory days of the last 4 years are sure to make you feel seen and safe. This week's denial kits also include various bumper stickers with powerful phrases such as, "Don't blame me, I voted for her twice. I still believe in the Constitution, even if I've never read it." And my personal favorite, "Not my Gulf of America." We will have more reality-denying, wounded-feelings-affirming swag for you again next week, I promise. Only 47 months to go, my friends.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.